What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the November edition of WHM Mailbag. My name is Andrew Drubin. We are broadcasting live tonight. We are going to read a bunch of letters from y'all. Maybe we'll take some cues if we have some time. Welcome here in the chat. Tio Batio, Fortune's Daughter. Thank you for tuning in here. Veronica Forker. I'm So Rachel. Bryn Robinson. Alicia Olivier. Glasshouse Films. Nick B. How y'all doing this evening? Thanks for tuning in live. Sucked. There they are. Love that sucked. Yes, sucked. Yes, indeed. Going to bring in my friends here. We're going to read some letters. First one up. New setup, new monitor. Eerie as fuck broadcast cave. Eric Siska.
The Star Whackers are real.
You look like you believe it, dude.
I do.
And I look like it. Randy Quaid with this beard and hat, by the way, I just realized.
Yeah, both. I think we're both Randy Quaid.
Something to aspire to, dude. some dude who's always got a great t-shirt game going, and this is just like, you could say like tonight's is whatever, but tonight is a fucking fantastic t-shirt. Mr. Steven Sadak.
That's right. It's some Batman Returns level kind of a bat.
There's a difference in the logo.
Of course there is. Jesus Christ.
What's the difference? I thought it's the same as Batman.
He's got these little keys over here. You know what I mean?
It's a little, he's taking a shit. Is that a turtle head?
Yeah, it's a little like boop.
Yes, it's the 89. I think it's 89 for sure. I believe it's also in Returns, but you know, you can tell me.
That he's got the boop.
Yeah, it's got the little guy over here.
Yeah. Steve, last night I rewatched Mask of the Phantasm on 4K. You know what, dude? That movie was released on Christmas Day, as we talked about back on our AD episode a couple years back. It's now kind of become a Christmas movie for me, sort of because of that. And we did the AD in like December, I think it was, anyway.
Isn't there some snow going on in that movie?
There is. Yeah. It's not like Batman Returns.
So how does the 4K work in that? They like retrace it like darker?
Yes.
Like the lines a little more clear?
Yeah. I think that's what happened, yeah. Oh, and another guy, can't forget this guy. You know him, you love him, folks at home. Mr. Chris Cabin.
As seen in the episode A Fistful of Data's exclusive Skybox Playmates Star Trek.
Oh, now you're just reading toy boxes.
Included Sheriff
Worf. You ran out of everything.
In Western attire from the hit TV show Star Trek The Next Generation.
Save something for the toilet.
What?
Save something to read on the toilet.
This is a collectible. I'm not taking this into the toilet.
You need to show me what we're looking at here, dude. I didn't see who we're talking about.
It's a Sheriff Worf.
Oh, Sheriff Worf.
Oh, yes.
One of our nice fans gave this to us on tour stops, and it has stayed in my little cave down here.
I've got so many Star Trek toys from that exact fan, our good buddy Cody.
I'm allowed to put a TNG ornament on the tree because I bought one. Where a Data is holding Spot, who looks exactly like our cat.
Right.
My wife's thrilled about it. So we're all having a great
time. There we go. I got a TOS one coming, dude. It's Sulu doing the sword fighting.
Oh, nice.
Oh, that's nice. Oh,
did they paint his nipples on that little ornament or no?
I think I'm going to have to do the nipple painting, to be completely honest with you.
Someone's going to have to.
It's good. Someone's going to do it.
It's going to have a project during Christmas. It's important to have things to do, some crafting to do.
That's right.
It's a very nice thing to do for you.
Some people make gingerbread houses. You know, I paint nipples on toys that don't have them.
Yeah.
Important things.
That's right.
How many Nick Cave ornaments does lovely Jen have on that tree?
It's a great question. I don't think we have a single Nick Cave ornament at the time.
Oh, my God.
What the hell would a Nick Cave Christmas ornament be, do you think?
Maybe it would be the mercy seat, possibly a nice electric chair.
A red right hand? Come on.
Red right hand.
A red right hand that you can plug into the Christmas light string like Eric's TOS.
It released during Scream 3, so it's the Scream 3 version where he goes, you scream once, you scream twice, you scream again. Yeah, he did. There's a Scream 3 version of Red Right Hand.
Dude, I thought you were joking.
I am not.
Insane. He recorded it?
I think it's him, if I remember correctly.
There's another. I was just watching Hellboy with Soph, and there is one of the worst covers of Red Right Hand in that movie.
Really?
It's of like, for a minute there, because they have the organ stab, so you think it's the real thing. And then all of a sudden you hear like some like 23-year-old sing like Red Right Hand.
Have we had an Eerie Doll version of that song?
I imagine yes. You've had to by now, right? Somebody did it.
I don't know. Sorry, Eric. I stepped all over you, dude. What were you saying?
No. Sorry. I guess I stepped on. We're stepping today, dude.
We're stepping out.
That's
one way of putting it.
So we got some letters to read here that Postmaster Cliff Clavin, Chris Cabin, has compiled.
We are stepping out. I don't know if you know where my little tag says here. I'm from Jersey City.
Oh,
I don't
know if
you're aware of that.
I thought you were from the Bronx.
Well, I'm from the Bronx, but I've actually now lived in Jersey City.
Your narrative is constantly changing. Is this the new 52, Steve?
No.
Complex lore.
Dude, excellent. I've been here for 12 years now almost. So that's, and like, I think like it's like 6 more years and then it's like, it's evening out maybe, or ooh. No, it's probably, no, it's gotta be 8, but I still, I can see myself staying here 8 more years. Yeah. But because Jersey City is wonderful, it has so many great things, including a beautiful theater called White Eagle Hall. I don't know if you're aware of that.
What's going on there?
Well, next Thursday, exactly 1 week from tonight, we'll be on stage, all 4 of us talking about The Santa Claus.
Oh, no shit.
Oh,
which really? Is the Santa Claus is if you kill Santa Claus, you must become him no matter what. Santa Claus, you will become him.
Right. Yes. And remember, folks, I didn't get fat. Someone fell off my roof. Okay.
Yes.
Right. And I put his clothing on for some reason.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. I was putting together the pre-show video, and so I'm watching the trailer the other day and I had not seen a lick of this movie in at least like 15 years or so. We are going to have a fucking ball, folks. You absolutely have to come to this show. It is a ridiculous movie. It is a flat out ridiculous movie. We're going to have so much fun poking holes in it. I will be drinking eggnog on stage, by the way.
You've got that set up.
Well, not yet. It's eggnog.
It'll be getting warm in the car for you.
Yeah. Put it near the radiator. That's what makes it good.
All I can say is bring your own. You know how these venues are. It's like, here you are, Mr. Jupiter. It's some milk with gum in it. Yeah. Here you go.
Oh, it's eggnog, but the only kind I could find was almond milk. And then I slapped that boy across the face.
A homeless man gave this to me.
Jersey City is so easy to get to, by the way. I just want to really, if you're in Brooklyn, it's like a 30. I can get to Williamsburg in 30 minutes flat, no problem.
It's true, it's an easy ride.
It's an easy ride. By the way, I need to apologize to Tim Allen, for Monday's show, Monday's live stream on Scream. By the way, because I had spread a lie. I don't know if you guys remember Andrew and Eric.
Oh, I remember.
Yes, I do. Yeah. This would be fucking horse shit. All right.
No, it's real.
So, all right. Clear your name.
So, what happened was Tim Allen was trending on Twitter that morning. I'm like, hey, that's great because we're doing the show. I'm obviously going to check it out on Twitter. And what I find out, everyone's like, well, fuck you, Tim Allen. I love my dog. My cat loves me. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? So, I go deep. I try to go deep on it. The deepest I can get is it's an account. It's like, well, so Tim Allen thinks that animals are incapable of love. I think that they are. What do you think? And then everyone went apeshit.
Right.
And then but I couldn't find the quote. And then I believe Eric was even looking for the quote as well.
Scouring the internet.
And a couple hours later, this person was like, so everyone's asking me where this is, when Tim Allen said this. Well, I'll let you know. It was the last man. It was Last Man Standing, episode 4, season 13. And God. It's like, no, no, that's a fictional television show.
No, it's not.
And that's for. And if Tim Allen said that, it was for comedic effect. Yeah. I don't believe that Tim Allen believes it, or Tim Allen's surrogate in Last Man Standing, probably Bill or Frank or
sounds Tom. Right. Vlogger. Right. He's a vlogger. That's the important thing to remember is he's a consistent vlogger. And he's a masculine man.
Right. Which but is like, good. All right. So this person
yes.
is freaking out on the internet
mm-hmm.
because they were incapable of telling reality from fiction.
Yes. And that's
just fascinating.
You know, I mean, honestly, I think it made him sound cooler if Tim Allen was just like, dogs are incapable of love. These are just animals and they have no soul. At least it's something.
So yeah. Is it an episode where like that character,
maybe his, he learns
like, daughter wants to get a dog yeah. or something. And it's like, this is why animals are bad, Ruff Ruff.
Yeah, I think that's probably what's going what? On.
They just keep on begging you for your bacon. I mean, why can't they just bugger off? I want to have my bacon. You should be strangled.
So James Gandolfini likes to murder people while he's taking his daughter out to look at colleges. Pretty wow. fucked up. We shouldn't celebrate that guy, even though he's dead.
Father of the year, folks. Father of the year right there.
He provides. You know what? He provides that man.
So James Gandolfini, get this, supposed nice guy, James Gandolfini,
mm-hmm.
has his office, you're not going to believe this, in the back of a strip club.
Oh, no.
Wow. Real nice guy. Real role model there.
Hey, he's going to therapy. He's trying.
Yeah.
You know what? You can take all the pictures with Shrek you want. That's just disgusting.
After this trip, he goes down to New Orleans to meet Brad Pitt and hang out for a little bit. He'll be just fine. He'll be right as rain, ready to be the family man he's meant to be.
Oh, man. Well, so I'm glad we cleared the air about that, Steve. Yeah.
I don't want to get sued by the Allen estate.
I will be just screaming hate against Tim Allen.
Of course.
Most of Thursday night.
Thursday, this coming Thursday, December 7th.
Indeed.
That's right.
Hey, White Eagle Hall, Jersey City, New Jersey.
Should say, I really like the art that Philippe did for this.
Of course, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
Christmas tinged. I got to bring the hats. I'll be wearing a hat. I bought a show shirt, too.
Ooh, a show shirt. I love that.
Yeah. It'll be funny if it gets here on time. Otherwise, I'll just be wearing a shirt.
I found this hat in the gutter, and I place it upon my own head.
Oh, no, dude, be careful. You're going to get Santa Claus'd.
Yeah.
I already did.
Christmas slice. That's what that comes with.
So who's starting off, Chris?
So I think it's got to be Eric's got to take this first one.
Oh, okay.
It's got a
wish, Chris.
It's got a key figure from Cisco lore.
Oh, wow.
Okay, it's called Read the Fine Print. Hello, cinema comrades. I'm a big fan and loyal Patreon follower. Well, thank you
very much.
Thank you. Patreon.com/WeHateMovies.
Was that in the letter?
But yeah.
Yes, and, they hyperlinked it in their own email.
Oh, wow.
Do that. Not read the fine print for Patreon. Just subscribe. I was inspired to tell my Crispin Glover story after enjoying your recent Friday the 13th virtual show.
Ooh, that was a hell of a time, by the way. If you guys missed that, it's gone. But I promise you, it was really fun.
It was a wonderful time. I worked as a movie theater projection/manager for almost 20 years. The theater I was working at was a small two-screen indie theater that would sometimes have guest screenings with post-film Q&As. Previous screenings featured the likes of Bruce Campbell, Philip Seymour Hoffman, and John Cameron Mitchell.
Nice. Wow, solid mix of folks there.
Not bad.
We landed on a week's screening of Crispin Glover's film, What Is It? Where he would have a post-film lecture for every screening. Did you guys see this when he was touring it around?
I did not.
I specifically didn't see it because you went and I stayed at the IFC bar and got wasted. And I was like, you tell me what it's like, man. You do it, good buddy. And
that was the one that I went to with you, Eric. That's the only one of his movies I've seen.
That was quite a film. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily a recommend, but it was great meeting him. Actually, he's the softest hands I've ever touched.
Oh,
the hardest hands I ever touched.
Ooh.
That's
Steve Zadak?
No, I think Jay Leno. Palance?
Oh, Jay Leno.
Jay Leno.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Socket wrenching and what have you.
Sure,
he's doing that. Exactly.
A lot of this. Socket wrenching. A lot of that.
what with the socket wrench?
Not on a car or anything, just in the air.
So now I got you. Now you're stuck here. You're gonna get socket wrenched.
He wore the same velour suit and cape to every screening. I wish I saw him with a cape. He did not have a cape when I saw
him. Oh, damn it.
He was still definitely dressed like Crispin Glover, though, dude. Don't undersell that part of it.
That's true. He was.
He looked outrageous and theatrical.
His film would play in our main auditorium, which seated 500 people except for one evening. Mm. There was a previous engagement where another event was in that time slot that day. He would have to present the film one day in our much smaller theater. He did not mince words. My movie doesn't play in the small theaters.
Wow. Oh, guess what?
Now get me a cockscraw.
Cockscraw. Mr. Glover was furious. Apparently, he hadn't read the fine print, discovered the news hours before the screening. He paced the lobby, waving his gigantic arms wildly. He is a big guy. You wouldn't expect it, but he's like, he's a big guy.
You know what movie really tells you that is, and I hate to say this, but the Charlie's Angels movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, is that right?
When he's doing all the fight scenes, he's humongous. He's towering over everybody.
He's like the heavy in that, right?
Yes. Yeah.
He does the cool, like, he doesn't talk through the whole movie.
And he's in the second one, too, I think.
So he's waving his gigantic arms wildly in front of the staff that were prepared for his event. Our booking manager asked him to step outside to clarify that he wasn't tricked.
Whoa, wow. Do you want to step outside, fucking McFly? I'll shot. You know what, dude?
Yeah, totally.
That'd feel good. That would, if you call him McFly, that would really feel good. Yes.
I thought I told you you're playing the smaller house tonight.
He was shouting at her so loudly you can hear him as if he was still inside. You're trying to fuck me. I will not tolerate this. This is bullshit.
Oh, no. This sucks. Ah. Mm-hmm.
He had escalated to stomping his feet and was red-faced like me in this lighting. Mm. I don't think anyone has been more comical and terrifying than a giant spindly creature losing their shit while wearing a cape. When our booking manager pulled out a copy of the contract he had signed, he grabbed it out of her hands and tore it up, looking like Daffy Duck from the Duck Amuck cartoon, and stormed off.
Oh, wow.
Did his head turn into a large flower at that point? Is that why he looked like Daffy Duck from the Duck and Walk cartoon?
Cape season.
I see.
Velour suit season. Anyway, we were sure he was going to cancel, but he had cooled off by the time we needed. He was needed on stage. What is it finished? It's week run, and we vowed to never book him again. And years later, he is asked to guest again, but was politely turned down. Thank you very much, WHM gang. Murphy, and I will say, Murphy, give our boy another shot.
I'll tell you this, though.
I don't want to watch a new movie, to be clear, but I would like you to book him again. That's nice.
Sure, yeah.
I'll tell you this, though. The first mistake, I'm not saying this is on the theater in any way, but the first mistake is agreeing to this for a week-long run. Uh-huh. This is a single night experience, possibly an encore presentation for a night two. You do not agree to book a film like that for an entire week.
Yeah, I don't care where you are. IFC Center only had it for a few days one or two.
Weekend.
That's too much of a commitment for a movie like that.
No, just one weekend.
Big folly right there. Sorry.
Make sure the people who want to see it can see it. To put on a Saturday and a Sunday, but that's all. I don't see how you past 3 days don't give that thing that
It's a rough watch.
It is. You know what? I have not seen any of his movies. I've actually read more about his movies than I've actually seen any of them.
Why don't you watch a fucking movie?
I'm not going to do that. Okay? I don't do that.
They're not good. Well, they're not.
But here's the thing. Crispin Glover dipped a toe into, again, what we do when we go touring. Everything is up in the air. You show up and it's like, oh, we said this. No, it's and like, that's the thing is especially if you're doing some kind of a tour where it's like, this is the one thing you're doing that you're focused on 100%. If you're doing multiple dates, it's just like, all right, we're going to do the Atlanta one. And it's like, oh, wait, what's this? It's at a diner. Okay, cool. Right. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
Information changes. Wow. And you have no control over it. I mean, the move is always to be the nice guy and be like, oh, that's great. Because also, none of these people can help you is the thing is like whoever can. Oh, the manager's gone. He died 4 days ago, man. We can't. That's it. So we can't record your show, dude. Sorry,
dude. All of that is veiled true references to that Atlanta show. Yeah. I'll tell you this, just in from the chat here, I want to toss him up here because he generously gave a tip for a question here. The Fasting Nomad chimes in saying they keep forgetting to send in the story about the time they went to our New York City Blade Trinity show back at the Bell House in 2017. Apparently, this person blacked out at a bar and woke up in a strange house. Yeah. You bet your ass you have to write that story in Fasting Nomad.
That is awesome. I think you need to relive that experience on December 7th in Jersey City, New Jersey.
You know what? Drink responsibly next week, folks. I don't want anyone blacking out. Because that's when you get somebody yelling, snake! Give me a snake one.
Oh my God. Wow, Steve is putting out all the dirty laundry tonight.
Well, there was that one fella in Toronto that I think got arrested.
He was trying to kill us.
That guy was Eric is very certain of this.
I was trying to go outside to de-escalate the situation.
I'm sure that's exactly what would have went down. All right, Chris Cabin, who's next up?
You know what? I'll take this one. This is the longer one. The Ballad of Hunger Games. Welcome.
H-U-N-G-A.
Yes, this is important, actually. Thank you, because that is important. Hello to the WHM gang and the listeners at home. Longtime listener and previous mailbag writer, Nolan from Indiana, writing in again.
Wow, look at this.
After the Hunger Games episode went live, a few of us Muldooners were chatting about our Hunger Games experiences.
They were none too pleased, if I remember.
Oh, I mean, I've heard nothing but good things about that episode. And I love that episode. But
wait, is that in the letter or is that you, Chris?
No, that's just me. Not in the it took me an hour to write mine out and post it, and I quickly got a few direct messages telling me to send this story into the mailbag.
So this is already
vetted. This has been vetted by the best in the business.
Fan sourced. Yep, got it.
This is the tale of a man we called Hunger Game with an A. I worked at a movie theater when Hunger Games came out. We knew it was going to be a big deal by the amount of pre-tickets sold and the amount of people asking about showings. But months in advance of it coming out, we started getting consistent calls from a guy who had one simple question. When that Hunger Game coming out? That's exactly what he said. And he said it every single day for months. It became a game to try to be the guy who answered his call. And sadly, I didn't have the high score, but I did answer the call a couple of times every single day. When that Hunger Game coming out?
Wait. Were you not telling him?
I think that he would receive the information.
Yes.
And then his crazy brain wouldn't metabolize.
He's such a fan. Mm. He just wants to make sure he's checking in. Yeah. Make sure that date didn't go changing.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Okay. You never know. All of a sudden it's moved up a day. You got to take off a different day of work.
Happens every week. Happens every week with these movies. Anyways, the day finally arrives. I don't open, but I do come in around noon for a double shift. My boss, Dan, runs up to me laughing as soon as I walk through the door. Don't look now, but he's here. Who? Dan almost yells, Hunger Game! Standing in line for the 7 p.m. showing is... look, I'm a fat guy myself, so I'm not throwing stones. But this guy was massive. Big basketball shorts, red t-shirt, free refill size popcorn and Coke, and a look of pure determination on his face.
Basketball shorts at the movies, man. You have to be comfortable.
I'm picturing like Russell Crowe in Unhinged.
Oh, yes. Yes.
But on his day off.
And liberated from the shirt, the button-up shirt he's got in that.
Right, yes. Yeah. Right.
Got to be out. Popcorn and Coke and a look. According to my coworkers, he was there when they opened that morning.
Jesus.
What
Christ.
The fuck? That rules. That is awesome. I love when someone's excited about a movie. We should be celebrating.
Yeah. Yes, that's fair. You're right.
I'd have Hunger Game on the back. For the record, the guy didn't seem like he had mental issues or a disability or anything. Apparently, he was just a giant fan and he was here to prove his worth.
Did he think like J-Law was going to come to the theater like opening night?
Maybe.
He should have dressed up like Caesar Flickerman.
Well, yeah, if J-Law is showing up, then he does have to dress up. He can't be doing this basketball shorts.
I like your basketball shorts, hi. Those are excellent basketball shorts. Wow, get a look at these basketball shorts.
Do you want to get married?
This guy's a huge fan. Now you'll be in the sequel with me, basketball shorts.
I love the color red. He spent 12 hours pounding popcorn and Cokes until opening. Finally, the time for the show rolls around, and he is first through the doors.
Of course, Wait a second. He's 12 hours pounding popcorn and Cokes. So, like, what?
He got there at 7 a.m. and the showing is at 7 p.m.
Oh, it's at 7. Okay, got it. Oh, there we go. Sorry.
It's a sellout. My staff gets us through, and I begin running theater checks and preparing for a relatively easy night. The first complaint comes before the trailers end. There's a smell. I check the theater, and lo and behold, there is a smell. Someone is farting, and not the entirely dry kind.
Oh, come on.
Really?
But hey.
Pardon me, sir. Hi, sorry. Someone's farting in the theater. Could you? What am I? I don't know. It's not your problem. I don't know.
No. You don't understand. It's not the dry kind.
You're going to have to put some garbage bags on those seats.
It's a mist. I'm feeling a mist on my face. But hey, what can I do? Go around and tell everyone to please refrain from farting?
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah,
that's it's farting. Farting. Yeah. That's the thing, that's the magic of farting. It's not something that anyone can stop. You know what I mean? You can say, right.
Can't stop it. That's the magic. It's unstoppable.
It is. No,
versus like you can go into an auditorium and be like, excuse me, we've got complaints of talking. Can we got to knock off the talking. You cannot go into a theater and be like, excuse me, you got to knock off the farting. Whoever it is, by the way.
Sold out. You gotta show. Knock off the fart. He can't move. He can't move his seat. You gotta sit true. Next to this wet fart
all night long. But hey, yeah, okay. That being said, it's clear who the culprit is here.
Sure. Well,
Hunger Game is sweating bullets.
No.
His shirt he's no longer alive, I think is what we're saying.
His shirt is dark red. His basketball shorts are shiny with butter and sweat. 12 hours of oiled popcorn is running through his system, but he will be goddamned if he misses a second of this fucking movie.
This is outrageous.
I do what I can do and turn the air conditioning on high. Shoot those farts out the vents. Check the theater again. Notice a marginal improvement in the stench and leave to check the other theaters.
My God. I think the Safdie brothers should adapt this into a film. Yes,
please. Get on them. The curse is going to wrap up soon. Come on. A few more complaints.
This is how you win. Keep farting. You'll win my hand in marriage.
Get Adam Sandler.
Keep farting.
Yeah, it's called you got to get Adam Sandler in a fat suit to play Hunger Game, I think.
And J-Law as herself, obviously.
Yes, of course.
Oh, yeah, obviously.
That
Uncharted obviously. Basketball Shorts is the title.
A few more complaints came in, but I didn't handle them. I was in the other theaters, and after about half an hour passes, I get a call on the walkie. Nolan, you got to get upstairs now.
Uh-oh. What could be happening?
It's my boss, Big Mike.
Oh, Big Mike.
That Big Mike's what's happening, Steve. Yeah. So there's
your don't fuck with Big Mike.
The last, you know, if it's Ted, if it's Alan, if it's Craig on the horn, you know, you get if it's Big Mike, you drop what you're fucking doing.
And if it's little Mike, you can also be like, whatever. But Big Mike.
Big Mike and Medium Bill. Those are just who you got to watch out for. They're pretty tough.
If you find yourself ignoring Big Mike, by the way, you better be dead.
Oh, yes.
You better prepare, at least. It's my boss, Big Mike, and it sounds about as urgent as anything he's ever said on the walkie. Oh, shit. I sprint to the stairs, run to the office, look around. No Big Mike or even our general manager. I check the projection booth, the inventory room, no one. Then I hear it. It sounds like crying, and it's coming from the count room. The count room is where the money is clearly counted, but it's also where the camera system is.
I walk
into pandemonium.
Yep, here we go.
Big Mike is on the ground. Josh is slumped over his chair, and both cannot breathe from laughter. I get pumped. What's going on here? Big Mike wheezes. Rewind the tape.
Oh, no.
I bet you Big Mike did a lot of wheezing, by the way.
Well, yeah, into the grave.
Look at this. This fart is back into the left. Back into the left.
Blew them all back. About 30 minutes into the movie, Hunger Games does a full-on dump walk right out of the theater.
This poor bastard.
I laugh. It's funny, but I don't get the laugh riot happening. They tell me to keep watching. A few minutes later, you see Hunger Games' head poke out of the bathroom. He looks around
and sees the
state of affairs. The lobby is empty, except for the concession workers cleaning and the ticket seller counting themselves down. At this point, the man steps out of the bathroom wearing the red shirt and nothing else. No shorts, no shoes, nothing in his hands. He full-blown Donald Ducks it out of the bathroom, through the lobby, in a majestic stride, and right out the front door into the night.
His pee-pee floppy cock is out.
It is out.
Shit ass. His dump truck shit ass.
His very damp ass is out in the wind.
Here's my question. There's a lot of questions. I guess I'll start.
All at once.
Do we think this guy was wearing underwear and basketball shorts?
Free ball.
I don't think so.
I think it's free ball. Yeah, I think it's free ball.
Yeah. Oftentimes with basketball shorts, dude, if you have a reliable waistband and a good tie-off system, you can commando in those basketball shorts.
But let this be a cautionary tale all the same. When you can, make sure there is another level of protection down there.
Yes. I'll commando basketball shorts at the home. Sure. But like, be hanging out.
It's now a trend. I mean, to go outside in sweatpants, go to the mall in sweat, whatever. Sure. People are living in sweatpants. It's fine or whatever. But whenever I see that, I'm just imagining it's a sharding shit ass situation. No underwear.
Well, you're going to, and after this, you're going to think of it all the more so. You're just going to be thinking about dumps all the time.
Whenever I see someone in, the thing is that can't contain a shit ass, you know.
And you know what?
No, it can't.
Denim, you could contain that ass.
Maybe, yeah, but still, it's a disaster either way.
And I'm guaranteeing you, Mr. Gentleman here, Mr. Hunger Game. Mm. You know, we're talking all about the popcorn and the soda that he was drinking and eating. He had a couple hot dogs. I guarantee you, there's some real protein going on, because this does not sound like a hot dog or a popcorn sharding situation. There had to have been nachos involved.
You were still in malls around this time. There was probably a trip downstairs to your local Sbarro's.
Or possibly maybe a
McDonald's situation. Who knows?
I bet you, though, there's definitely a lot of butter on that popcorn and that stuff. You are just greasing the system, dude.
Sure.
You saw the cans that stuff came in. My God. I'm on the floor.
Hey, where are you going? You're missing the... Oh, no.
Never mind. No longer future husband.
Buy a girl a drink first.
could I be Mrs. Hunger Games? I'm on the floor. He walked right out, cheeks and all, right out the door. Grim question dawns on us. Where are those shorts?
Yep, here we go.
We run downstairs, head to the bathroom, and the smell hits us before we enter. A massacre has happened. It's everywhere. The walls, the floor, everywhere, and everything. Poop. And at the center, the man's basketball shorts and shoes.
Oh, now who's laughing? This is like, now who's laughing?
If you didn't have the tape, you'd think he got raptured or something.
It's like the black box.
No, you'd think he exploded into a huge burst of shit, apparently.
Yeah, it all came out. I mean, either way, it all came out.
Wow, it turns out that Hunger Games fan was just a huge human-sized poop balloon, and he popped in the bathroom.
Who could have known? They come in all kinds of sizes.
Oh, well, let me explain it. Did you ever see Dogma? Oh, no, you didn't? Okay.
That's really it. If you haven't seen it, you should see it, because it's the only way I can relate the story to you.
Didn't see Dogma. Fuck.
It's weirdly hard to get on DVD. we know shit called industrial cleaners in.
Wow. Oh.
We also had to give a fair amount of refunds because the man shit in his chair and left a snail trail through the theater out into the lobby and into the bathroom.
I'm sorry. Hold on. A snail trail, ladies and gentlemen.
I suppose.
Like a slug.
That's the first.
Like that slug. You know, so it's just like this.
A little slime.
Inched along and left a little snail trail. A
little trail of like little
slime.
Shit water, I guess.
Yeah, shit slime, really.
Good God.
And into the bathroom. It was an all-night problem. Hazmat suits were used.
Oh my God.
That's incredible.
Where did he go? He walked out into the city with no shoes, no pants, or underwear, and nothing in his hands. No wallet, no keys, nothing.
King shit right here.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping this was the kind of a suburban scenario where there's a park, you know, large,
a garage,
you know, a cricket chirpy parking lot that he was able to sneak out into, but it sounds like he was in the middle of the city center, which is bad.
The one metropolis in Indiana. I like to imagine he just walked into the night and became a constellation. Hunger Game cost our theater thousands of dollars. In his wake, he left behind a legend. Thanks for reading, Nolan from Indiana. Thank you, Nolan.
Incredible.
I cannot stress this enough. If it has to do with a shitting in a bathroom to the point where like it's no longer usable, I'm a fan of the story.
Yep.
You just throw as many of those into the mailbag as you want. I can't get enough of it.
I'll say this. At a former place of employment, they had a guy that the theater staff nicknamed this old-timer Poop Ghost.
Woo! Nice.
Because this guy, he would like go into the bathroom like immediately at the end of a movie and like be in that bathroom shitting for so long. Like he'd be at like the final show of the night and he'd be shitting and they'd be trying to like close the building. And then like if he didn't come at the last show and like you were getting in there afterwards or whatever, the dude left like the stench of stenches, like the Seinfeld smelly car thing. Like you couldn't spray it away. It just was this poop smell, ghost of an entity that just left behind if this guy was at the theater. It was fucking horrible.
Tomato sauce.
I've worked at a gym and a health club, and in both instances, and this just happens, and I don't know why it happens.
Yeah.
You will get someone that shits outside the toilet. I don't understand why it happens.
A full-on log?
A full
power
turn.
Move. Yeah, I think it's power move. I think
both awesome. Places I've worked in kind of service where I would, and I sure did have to clean it. A single turd, you know what I mean? Like
they're doing maybe leg day while they shit, like going up and down. You know, they might miss.
I think to Chris's point, it's a power. It's like you're dissatisfied with something that happened service wise, and you know what? Now someone who is me that had no power whatsoever has to clean your shit.
I'm not entirely convinced that our friend Hunger Game here is not some kind of, you know, Fight Club-esque Project Chaos. You know, bring down the theater by destroying its bathroom and having to make it pay thousands of dollars.
If this is your first night at Shit Club, you have to shit.
I want you to shit as hard as you can. You met me at a very shitty time in my life.
Please let us shit in your basement, Tony. Please let us shit in your basement.
Where is my turd?
A new homework assignment for everybody. I want everyone to go to a movie theater and shit. But this time, you're going to lose.
Exactly.
This movie, Hunger Games, in 2012, was released in late March.
Mm.
So this person here, Nolan, says they are from Indiana. This dude, Hunger Game, walked out of the bathroom just Donald ducking into the night. How cold is it in Indiana?
Pretty cold.
Yeah. In late March.
At that point, cold. That is so low on your radar of things you're worried about, though. Like, if you have...
Yeah.
If you're not able... If you're no longer able to wear pants...
Yeah.
And you have to just deal with that and reality.
Is he technically nude if his penis goes inside of his body because it's cold and he's so overweight?
The court would decide that, Eric, I think.
Yeah. You're definitely getting arrested, though.
Yes.
Really?
I mean, I guess the pants have to be so shitted out that you can't even, because I mean, to me, it would be like, I would wear them up to the point where I got in my car and then I chucked them or whatever. You know what I mean? Like
Thank you. That's the other sort of wonder here is
They must have been in such bad shape.
But what does that mean, though? They disintegrated? How bad could they have been?
Well, what is he going to do? If this is a situation where somehow, like, he shat on the front of his shorts, it sounds like this is just a disaster. What is he going to do? Pick him up and try to wash him in the sink? No, he's just going to... I mean, the first thing that's got to be on his mind now is shelter. He's got to find somewhere to stay for a while. Yeah, I would have stayed in that... Well, no, you have cell phones at the time. You should have called somebody and had
called a buddy, a friend, mother. Wait,
you think he's got a friend?
Just one. I just need one. That's all I gotta need.
You use that big red shirt. You turn it into a diaper, and then you leave. Then I mean, like, you have no.
That's at least something.
You have no dignity anymore. Anyways, you might as well be wearing a red shirt diaper.
Like, it just, I'm fascinated by what had to have happened. That the preferable way to exit was completely nude from the waist down.
That's why I don't.
And shoes, my God, the shoes.
That's why I have to believe it is a Fight Club esque situation or just a performance art of a scale I have not completely conceived of.
Oh, it was like maybe he was like an apostle or like an acolyte of extreme Elvis.
That would be great. I mean, otherwise I don't understand, especially. Considering he called them every day. This sounds like a process for this man. And he did his process at the end, too.
That's all brilliant. We had a dude. He took a shit in the theater seats during a screening of the film Seabiscuit. Mm. And it was like right in the front row. And we just garbage bagged that shit and called it a day.
Left his own biscuit.
All right, Chris Cavan.
So the next one, I guess that will have that's Steve.
Okay, that's me.
Let me just say here real quick, Steve, we had another sponsored question here. I'll throw it up from Tristan. Would you guys make Patreon surveys to pick a future movie or short series to replace current series on feed temporarily? Probably not.
No,
we've done similar things with the Nexus, but it's not here an always there. Thing. Yeah, I mean,
that's what Listener Request Month is for. That's why Patreon participates in that.
And it's coming back in January, folks. Yeah. Those lines will be open early January. Look out for that.
So you'll
be able to affect change on this show.
Yes,
that's very sure.
Look at this. One man can make a difference.
Exactly.
You're getting ready for 2024, huh?
Okay, so now.
Big run.
God damn, I hate our fans. The other toilet
story is great. We love our fans. More toilet stuff.
Hello,
this is like a good old fashioned mailbag. I'm sorry. This
more
feels great.
Piss, shit, and vomit.
I'm very nervous about this one. I've not read ahead, but I will. You'll see why I get nervous. Hello, WHM gang. First of all, let me preface this by saying I am not a creep or a pervert. Now I'm nervous. Okay. I'm nervous.
I don't know, man.
The following incident was an honest mistake. That doesn't make it any less idiotic. And I take full ownership of this idiocy. Did the court make you write this?
Well, I want to make a point here. What he is getting all, spoiled up about and stirred up about.
Yeah.
It's not this. He's overreacting.
Okay. Many years ago, I enlisted in the United States Navy after graduating from high school. It was basically one of the only options for someone like me, mediocre grades and no money. As you might expect, that led me to enduring a few months of basic training. The first night was very scary and chaotic with a lot of screaming, but I made it and I was officially a seaman recruit. Cue Eric joke.
Eric joke.
A question over here. What was the screaming?
I mean, I assume like hazing stuff.
Well, yes, the hazing where they recruit the semen out of you.
Yes, okay.
Or like, you're getting the private pile, like the bars of soaps in the sock, maybe.
Why do you still have semen in your balls, private pile?
It'd be funny if that's what they were doing at all the malls. The two like officers are just there. Excuse me, young man, have you thought about giving your semen to us?
Yeah.
Oh, at the recruitment centers? Yeah. At the mall?
I never understand hazing. I've never been in a fraternity or anything like that.
Bullying, it's the same, right?
It's the same thing, but that's something like wouldn't, you know, like if I feel like I'm joined a fraternity, I'd be like, hey, let's just not do that. You know what I mean? Look, let's just stop.
Yeah.
If
we can avoid the sanctioned bullying.
That sucked when it happened to me, and I don't feel like doing that to anybody else. Can we just like cool it with that? Right. Just be like relaxed.
Yeah. But wait, how are you supposed to fucking trust somebody if you haven't watched them pick a pickle up with their ass? Why have, I mean, what is this society going to come to if we don't trust that kind of shit?
Okay, so
Sorry. Speaking of private pile, this is a good place to put this. It makes me think of D'Onofrio, which makes me think of someone asked about my subtitle here, Daredevil season 3, thumbs up, and said, did I just watch it? Yes, I just finished it. It's the best season of television Marvel's ever made.
Yep.
Anyway, sorry.
It's the best. It's absolutely the best.
It's fucking amazing.
That came out, 7 years ago now? Like
4 or 5, I think.
Yeah, wow. 2018, I think. Yeah.
Basic was divided into 3 types of training: physical, practical field training, and classroom training. Also, if you're a male recruit, you had little to no privacy, especially in the restrooms. You're not selling me on the military here, pal.
Yeah, that doesn't sound good.
And this is the thing, and I mean, this is something that everybody loves to do, aggro dudes. None of the stalls had doors, and if you had to take a shit, you had to sit across from the other crew taking a shit and figure it out.
That's going to be a no from me right here.
That was my high school, dude.
Dudes, you
didn't have doors?
No.
Dudes love to kick the door down, man. It's so fucking cool. And then it's like, oh, awesome. Now no one can take a shit in peace in private.
I couldn't leave. I mean, the high school was like 40 minutes from my house.
I mean, should tell you, we are always just like right on the precipice of falling into Jose Saramago's blindness. Any minute now, fucking knocking down the bathroom doors. What the fuck is wrong with you?
Now, wait a second, Eric, with your school's bathroom, though, like, so when you're sitting on the throne there, you know, in the no door situation, you're looking out through the stall. Is there another stall directly across from you? Like, was there dueling shitting?
There was one where like the stalls were like cinder blocks, not like, so it was floor to ceiling, which was nice. But if anyone came in, they'd have to walk past you shitting openly to get to the urinal.
That's bad, but it's not as bad as this, where you like, you could have one of these older pieces of shit literally just hanging out in the stall across from you, watching you shit, like, rolling a fucking like a cigarette or something, just fucking bully, like staring you down and bullying you, like,
yeah, no thanks,
all the time, no thanks.
Just slowly licking that cigarette.
I am appreciative of the people that choose to do that with their lives, the military, well done. I would not survive night one. I fucking guarantee
I'm gone. No, absolutely.
My recruit division had classes a couple times a week in the same classroom in the days leading up. I thought I had a pretty good handle on how everything was oriented. Then one day I went to a different classroom, and that's where the trouble starts. I'm in class and I need to use the restroom, so I asked to be excused. I walk in and immediately notice that these stalls all had doors. Ooh.
Now I
consider myself a person of reasonable intelligence, but for some reason I don't question why or give us an ounce of critical thought. I just thought that I stuck restroom goal. I go in a stall, lock the door, and do my business. It wasn't until I heard the first voice until I realized the enormity of my blunder. One female shipmate, followed by another, and then two, and then so on.
Yep.
And now that'll I was trapped. Talk about an ass clench. I cover my ears, not to invade the privacy any more than I already have. I tightened up so I can't be visible through the door crack, and I try to figure out what the fuck to do next. I have two options. One, walk out then and there, explain my mistake, and hope my punishment is mild. Then there's what I did. I wait. This is what I would have done as well. I waited out for however long it takes for the rest of you to clear out, haul ass out of there, and pray to God no one sees me walk out. Thankfully, no one does.
Yay!
This guy's got to be very thankful. He's clearly like a beanstalk, because if you're a guy of my size, you can't shrink. The door cracks are your enemy, and it's already over. Like, you are. There's no shortening or squeezing this in.
You're probably more likely to leave behind like a shit ghost that Andrew was speaking to.
A phantom, Eric. I would leave a shit phantom, one that would haunt the place.
Have any of you ever fell victim to moments of astounding, inexplicable stupidity? Thank you for many years of solid entertainment, and hope you don't judge me too much. Take it easy. Anonymous. Not even a fake name, huh? Or first name. I this isn't so bad.
It's fine.
I do. But again, I feel for you, because I always absolutely hate that bars across this great country, that door is kicked in. And I'm like, well, what the fuck are we doing here? Because and you explain it to women, and women are like, why does that happen? And the answer is, I have no idea. Men are assholes and need to kick in the door to the very thing that shields them from being seen taking a shit.
Because they saw, like, Charles Bronson kick a door in when he's playing a detective in some movie. And this is their, like, baby bitch-ass way to, like, be a cool kind of guy kicking a door in. A fucking defenseless, thin, weak-hinged fucking stall door. That's awful.
We all shit in the open here, Pally. You know? What was that? One of the death wishes, he knocks down the stall doors. Right?
Yes, he does.
Brutal. And there's also this world in which, like, well, men only need to use urinals. Well, not really.
No.
No.
We all got two holes, my friend.
More than that, Steve.
It's true. It's very true.
You got to look at these guys.
Yeah,
I got what's over here? I think the eyes are kind of holes. Mouth?
Kind of holes, yeah.
I mean, there's like plenty. You could really get into it.
But you can also puke. And I think that's, I guess you could puke in a urinal pretty easily, but I would prefer in the toilet.
And again, I would like to close that door and start yakking it up.
Sure. Yeah.
So you got your great urinal puking story, please.
Yeah. Oh, no, I puked in the urinal one night at the Patriot. That's all. There's no story there. I do have a very stupid story that I'll tell. I don't know if I've ever told this on the air. There was a night many years ago. I went to a concert in Midtown, and like I hadn't had anything to eat all day, and I was just drinking beer. And then my buddy was like, oh, hey, after the concert, I'm meeting some work friends at this Russian vodka bar up the street. Do you want to go? They're buying. And I was like, absolutely. Let's do this. And what it is, I don't know if you guys have ever been there. I think it's on like 52nd Street or something like that, or maybe like 58th Street. It is like quarter carafes of flavored vodka that are like so well flavored. It's like you're drinking whatever it's supposed to be and you can't taste the booze. Danger Town, USA, USSR as the case was. Basically, I have memories of drinking at that bar and asking the bartender for water in Russian. And then the next memory I have is walking down a sidewalk somewhere in Midtown. That's the end of that one. The next memory I have after that is going over the Queensboro Bridge in the back of a car, and my button-down shirt was open because I remember the sensation of the wind in my chest hair.
Mm.
So we got that. And then I remember throwing a wad of cash at a cab driver while yelling. And I don't remember what I said. And then I remember waking up the next morning, and here's the kicker of it all. I never found that shirt I was wearing. So somewhere along the way, from getting dropped off at the 7-Eleven to the like four blocks to my old apartment in Astoria, I took my shirt off in the street and wandered home drunk.
You know what?
Totally topless.
This might be how Hunger Game experienced things. That he just like blacked out, was covered in shit. My pants are gone.
He just comes home. He just wakes up at home. He's watching CSI for some reason.
And he's like, oh shit, I'm a doctor. I'm on call today. And he is,
oh no, I'm a Michael Mancini. Oh no. I had a huge bruising and scrapes on my right arm and like my right knee. So I also fell at some point.
Oh, excellent. Man.
Incredible stupidity.
It's the worst.
I think I'm not sure if I've told this story before. I was drunk when it's also, of course, it's funny how it goes with the drinking
Sure.
But I had not thought about like spacing out when you have to take your piss before you get home. If you're in New York City and you're using the subway, like need to know where your spots are, all these things. I just didn't think it through one night. And so I have to emergency get off like a stop before my house. And I am just like, I don't care where it is. I have to piss somewhere. Someone is taking my piss right now. I don't care who it is. I don't care what it is. Something is going to take my piss. I just start running up this street, and I'm like, I'm seeing these like little doors. I'm like, could I just like go into like someone's doorway and piss?
But
I'm not. but I'm not thinking enough because I'm drunk. So I'm not even doing that. So what I do is I go into, it's a first story. There's a big window and I start pissing on the window.
No, dude.
Very, very loudly. And like, I do the like the big, come on. I do the whole thing. And I'm like, oh, this is great. I'm never going to answer for this ever. And then the lights go on.
Yes, I love this.
And I hear a very sharp, hey! And I, piss streaming all over my pants and over myself, start booking it up the street.
Oh, you must have felt like Liam Neeson.
Little bit.
Do you, in your later days, do you know what window? Was it a residential window?
It was a residential window for sure.
100%. Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Oh, so of like a basement unit? Like a cellar apartment?
Right on the floor. Yeah.
Was this Sunset Park, Brooklyn?
It was indeed.
Yeah, I think I remember this story. This is a good one.
Yeah.
That was the problem, dude. You lived at the ass end of Sunset Park.
Yeah.
And to get from A to B, you were in a bathroom oasis.
Usually,
or a desert, I should say.
Right. I do my stops usually, but occasionally you just have these times where you don't think it through totally, and you find yourself in this situation where you do you piss on someone's house and you piss all over yourself. These things happen.
Oh, by the way, shout out to our bud Justine Prudhomme. My letter. I'm Navy toilet debacle.
Thank you for your service. And of course you have to wait. Like, there's no universe.
No, that was the
in
solution.
Which you like come out and be like, ladies and gentlemen, I apologize. You know what I mean? You just wait it out. I mean, literally until I would, you know, I'd get kicked out of the military because I'd be waiting in that bathroom for so long.
Come on, Sadek. You're not going to cough up a story of stupidity. You got fucking 10,000 of them.
I know. I'm trying to think of one that's not too disgusting.
Well, I already sucked the piss story, so you can't tell that one.
No, I mean, it's fine. I'm going to pass here. We're running out of time. We got one more letter anyway, too.
Yes, that's one more letter and one more chance to remind you all. Next Thursday, December 7th, Jersey City, New Jersey. Live episode on the Santa Claus, the Tim Allen led drama.
Hard hitting
family comedy,
body horror motion picture.
So come on out. It'll be a festive night of also disgusting shit, we'll say. So,
yes, a lot of shit, boys.
But you can get them ticks over at whmpodcast.com. Pop-up windows are going to bring you right to those tickets. They're going fast, you know, dwindling number. We want to see you there. Bring your friends. New York metro area. It's going to be an excellent way to kick this year right in the ass and kick off the holiday season. So, all right, here we go. Jake Lloyd Innocent. That's what this says.
Mm-hmm.
A few years back, I was married to a man. I was married to an actor in Los Angeles. Not anyone you probably would have heard of, but he had guested on The Closer, The OC, and a few other shows.
That's not bad.
Right? I mention this to say that when he was taking acting classes, it was with the same coach that had mentored Jake Lloyd.
Mm.
My ex was in the class a year or two later, but he related a story that the acting coach shared that I'm sure he's still mad about to this very day. For context, I have also met this acting coach a couple of times. He had a few clients that actually made it big enough, and mostly he was pretty good at what he did. I was told that when Jake was going in for his audition for episode one, they of course practiced very hard for it and got his lines, movement, and execution down to where it was apparently very impressive.
Mm.
Enough to get the part out of 3,000 kids who auditioned.
Mm.
The problem came after being cast, when during filming, instead of utilizing the more natural and polished version that he and the acting coach had worked on, George Lucas kept giving...
Hi there!
George Lucas kept giving different directions and wanting different things from him.
Oh, weird.
Apparently, at some points, even directly acting out the scene how he wanted
it to come off. George, like... So then you go over there and you say, Did you fall from heaven, baby?
Yeah, exactly.
Wait, Natalie, come over here. I want to show Jake what I want him to do here.
I'm going to get on my knees. Hi, I'm Jake. I'm a little kid. Hi.
Yeah, here, let me get on my knees here. Oh, those, they're hurting right there. Okay, so here's what you're going to want to do, little child. Humbadaga gawanga wato.
This is not shocking at all. I mean, this, you know, famously, George is not the greatest with actors. Yep. There was a great clip going around. I think it was on Twitter or X or whatever it's called these days, where Harrison Ford was like, oh, yeah, we were filming the first Star Wars, and I'm in the Millennium Falcon cockpit. Yes. And I asked George, well, how do you fly it? And then he does this great thing. Harrison Ford goes like, how do you fly it? And nothing is.
Yeah, yeah. No, so, you just do it.
They're all beeps and boots. I don't know.
Yes. He just like, he had to just improvise how to do what. It's just hilarious that George was so deer in headlights over that.
Right. All right. Let's see. And since George is not an actor himself and had nobody at that point to tell him no, all his direction made the acting much more flat and less fluid than it was supposed to be. Of course, after all this, Jake was blamed for the acting style when overall there was little he could do about it. To put such hatred onto a 9-year-old, enough to make him bullied and quit acting when he had prepared for the role, is ridiculous to say the least. So yeah, that acting coach is livid about how Jake was treated, and I can't say I blame him.
You gotta agree. It would be, I do agree 100% this guy is right, but it would be amazing if, like, you just met a guy and he's just like, they railroaded that Jake Lloyd.
Yeah.
And they put him through the screws. Oh, shit. You don't understand.
Know what, Clint, it's a weird hobby horse to have, I think.
Yeah. Well, I think Clint Eastwood should do a movie about how Jake Lloyd was railroaded by the system.
Oh, man. Yes, dude. Yeah, yeah.
Final movie. That's perfect.
I mean, I think we got over this in our a Phantom Menace Redux episode, but like, yeah, to blame a little kid for the Phantom Menace is insane. When the big man is standing right over there.
I mean, we certainly did it. It's not like we didn't do it, but like, yeah, it's ridiculous. The same thing with Jar Jar. Like, it's ridiculous. Yes. Like, right. Those aren't the problems are manifest. They're everywhere. It's many, many of them.
Right. Yeah. Thank you for all the years of amazingness, or thank you for all the amazingness you've doled out over the years. You rock, Amanda.
Mm. Well, thank you, Amanda, and thank you to all of our letter writers.
Yes, thank you so much. Again, I want to underline, more shit.
More shit.
More shit. More pissed.
Yes.
More fluids in general.
The goopier, the better.
That's exactly. Put that on the fucking letterhead. Goopier, the better.
Loads of goop.
I promise no one will be shitting on stage next Thursday when we are at Whitey Wall.
What if we brought someone up on stage to shit?
Wow. All sales are final.
I feel like saying, that's, you know, like it's like a rock club, a music venue. Do some G.G. Allen type of work here.
Finally, we get to do our tribute to Dusan Makiev. Shit in and eat our shit.
There's a reason why Extreme Elvis is dead. All right. Mm-hmm. Yes. Let that stuff die with
and
him.
If for people who don't know, Extreme Elvis was it was an act that he was like an Elvis impersonator, but he was a fat guy and he had a micro penis, and he would take his micro penis out and then he'd start pissing on the crowd whoever was close to the stage.
You know, that's a way to things like, come on, my children, let me bathe you, or something like that.
The way to reclaim the micro penis. Oh, you're laughing at me? Now I'm peeing on you with it. There you go.
There you go.
It was crazy to see. No one thought it was coming, but then that piss hit the crowd.
I'm with Steve now. He's a civil rights leader. He's really helping these micro penis people.
God. All right. Listen, we're going to wrap it up, folks. But once again, we just want to push them ticks. We cannot wait for next week. It's going to be an awesome ass show in Jersey City, New Jersey, which is right here in New York City, pretty much just across the river.
Same shit.
Same fucking shit, right, man. There. You take the subway to get there. All this.
No
same.
One checks your papers when you come in. It's all fine. Papira,
yeah, Dina Papirin, bitter. Give me your goddamn papers. This is Jay-Z now, motherfucker. Give me your goddamn paper.
And Hunger Games was none other than Chris Christie.
Oh my God, that makes sense.
Yes.
All right, but that is going to do it, folks. We hope we see you next week in Jersey City. That show is going to be a lot of fun. Also, for you patrons, tomorrow, Lethal Weapon, We Love Movies, dropping exclusively for you all. And I'll say it, another total banger-ass episode.
Good one.
You want to go into the weekend listening to that convo. It was a good time. Thanks for tuning in to tonight's mailbag. Until next time, I've been Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Eric Sisko.
Chris Cabin.
Have a good night, y'all. Bye-bye.